Hello, and welcome to the Magic Music Review Podcast. I'm Jim Spangler, your host. Join me each episode as we talk about our love of Disney music. It could be a song, a movie, a short film, a Broadway show, a Disney theme park, or one of the countless other forms Disney music takes. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the journey through the magic of Disney music on the Magic Music Review. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Magic Music Review. I am Jim Spangler, otherwise known as the Goofy Guy, your host, and I am so excited to be back. It has been a really long time since we've done an episode of the Magic Music Review. I am thrilled to be here and sharing my love of Disney music with you, and music in general, because you never know. Sometimes it's Disney, sometimes it may not be Disney, but just the fact that we are recording again and that we are creating content about what we love so much, and that is Disney music. And if you haven't guessed by the music there at the beginning of this episode, we are having a really special episode to come back on. We are talking about the movie The Nightmare Before Christmas, Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas, depending on who you ask. I love this movie so much, and I'm so thrilled to be sharing it and share my love of this music with you. I think that we will discover some things together that maybe are not so obvious, or maybe they are obvious, and we can all just agree how wonderful the work that was done in this motion picture was. It is a one-of-a-kind work, as we all know, and it has become a classic in many people's lives, to be seen every year. I certainly know that it has become that way in my household and in my life, and I am thrilled to share it with you. So let's dig right in. Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas was released on October 29th, 1993. That was 30 years ago. 30 years ago. Wow. Doesn't seem like that long. It was out on limited release on October 13th, and it premiered at the New York City Film Festival on October 9th. Lots of release dates there. The one that really remember is October 29th, 1993. It is based on a poem that was written by Tim Burton while he was working for Disney Animation back in 1982. I don't know if a lot of you knew that, but Tim Burton started at Disney Animation and then lost his job. But while he was there, he wrote this poem and never could convince the Disney company to even create a short for this poem, which he was very committed to and loved. It is an American stop-motion animation musical. What that means is that they filmed it one frame at a time. They had these little figurines that they created, little puppets as such, and they would take literally one frame, one picture at a time to make the motion, and then go in and just change ever so slightly the position of that puppet or marionette, and created this beautiful stop motion picture. If you're curious at what that's about, if you've ever seen Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the Rankin-Bass-kin special, Christmas special, that is also stop motion. That's what we're talking about. It's a beautiful look. Just recently, Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio on Netflix one best animated feature, and that is a stop motion, and that is a beautiful film. If you get a chance to go out and see that, be sure to do that. We may talk about that film one day because the score is gorgeous, just luscious. In 1990, Burton made a development deal with Disney finally to create this movie that he had written a poem about. They were not interested until he left and then came back. It was directed by Henry Selick, not Tim Burton. You know, for many years, I thought that Tim Burton had actually directed this movie, but it was not. It was Henry Selick that directed it. Tim Burton produced it. And it is called Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas because he wrote it. It was a critical and commercial success, but with a modest box office. People kind of argue whether that would be considered a commercial success or not. I think it was a commercial success because there wasn't a lot of expectation for it, honestly. Not a lot of people thought anything was going to come of this film when they released it. And so it was kind of a part of a full deal that Disney wanted Burton to be directing some things. And he said, well, I'll agree to direct if you will agree to make this movie. But it was certainly a critical success, and it has grown to be a cult classic. It has grown much bigger, so much so that Disney now claims it as their own, which they did not do before. It was praised for new stop-motion art form. It enhanced the stop-motion art form. Of course, as we talked about, there was Rudolph and all of those previous stop-motion specials. But this took it a new step. This went beyond what had ever been done before with the animated stop-animation art form. Absolutely beautiful. It was nominated for an Oscar for Best Visual Effects, and it was the first animated film to ever be nominated for an Oscar for Best Visual Effects. Unfortunately, it lost to Jurassic Park. It was the same year that Jurassic Park came out, and of course, you can understand why. Jurassic Park is a masterpiece also of special effects. But it is a beautifully, beautifully created movie. After its initial release, it has grown a cult following. And like I said, Disney has fully embraced it after releasing it under their Touchstone label. And Touchstone was where they would release pictures that either were PG-13, maybe a little more adult, or maybe they weren't quite sure how they would do, right? They weren't quite convinced that this picture was going to be the success that it ended up being. But now it is under the Disney label. And fully embraced. They use it in all of their Halloween work, and they also use it in their holiday work, too, for Christmas time. Jack Skellington and Sally are definitely a meet and greet for that. Jack dressed up as Sandy Claus, which we'll talk about later. It is widely regarded as one of the greatest animated films ever created, not only because of the ingenuity of how they created it, the stop motion platform and the enhancements and advancements that they made in that, but also just as an animated feature. It is a masterpiece of storytelling and music, and is celebrated around the world as one of the greatest that's ever been created. And that's just so cool to see a movie of this nature have that effect on people and on our culture and on the world of movie making. I love it. I just absolutely love it. You'll find as we go on here that I am a huge fan of this movie. Let's talk a little bit about the cast of this, because this cast is really special. And I don't think when they did the casting, they realized just how amazing it was, what kind of work they were going to get. Jack Skellington was portrayed by Chris Sarandon. He was the speaking voice of Jack Skellington, and Danny Elfman, who wrote the music, actually is the singing voice of Jack Skellington. And the reason that they did that is they felt like Elfman's singing voice matched Chris Sarandon's speaking voice. That may seem a little odd, but let me explain. Oftentimes, a person's singing voice is completely different than their speaking voice. I just saw on not Americans Got Talent, but on I'm gonna have to go back and fix this. Where was it? I just saw a video on YouTube about a young man that was auditioning for one of those voice audition shows where you go on and sing and people vote for you and stuff. And he had a speaking voice that just sounded like a normal speaking voice, and he looked just like a normal guy, but his voice was so low, so different than his speaking voice. And that was the problem they ran in with Chris Sarandon, is that his speaking voice and his singing voice didn't match. And so they hired Danny Elfman, who was already there, obviously, he created the music, to be his singing voice. Sally is portrayed by Catherine O'Hara. I love her. She is so wonderful, and she's wonderful as Sally. Dr. Finkelstein was William Hickey. The mayor of Halloween Town is Glenn Shaddix. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. Oogie Boogie is portrayed by a gentleman named Ken Page. Let's talk about Ken Page for a moment. Now, he is a Broadway star. Love Ken Page. Great baritone bass voice. And he has a very unusual contract with Disney for this character. Normally, Disney hires you to do a character for one thing, right? So you would be hired to do Oogie Boogie just for the motion picture. That does not mean that they will not hire you in the future to redo that voice, but they could hire somebody else to do the voice in the future. Goofy is a really good example of that. Every time Goofy is voiced, it is a different contract. It's the same person. It's all Bill Farmer, as of recently, but every single time he does Goofy, it's a different contract. So every time Goofy comes on the screen, he may be done by a different person. He may have a different voice. So that is how they do all of their animated features, all their animated voice over work. It's very interesting. And in the case of Oogie Boogie, Ken Page had written into his contract that he is the only person that can record Oogie Boogie forever. I don't know how he got that done. It's unheard of in the voiceover world, especially at Disney, to get that written into your contract. So whenever you hear Oogie Boogie, in whatever format you hear Oogie Boogie from Disney, it is Ken Page that you're hearing. That's who's doing the voice. And that is so cool. So then you've got Santa Claus, or Sandy Claus, depending on how you say it, was voiced by Ed Ivory, does a beautiful Santa Claus voice. Igor was by John Ranft, a voiceover artist that has done many, 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 many things. And then you have Lock, Shock, and Barrel, who are what Jack Skellington describes as Oogie's boys, which is really not fair because one of them is a girl. You know, Shock deserves to be, you know, identified as herself. But anyway, Lock is by Paul Rubens, also better known as Pee-wee Herman. Rest in peace. He just passed away recently and did a brilliant job for this motion picture. Shock is by Catherine O'Hara. Yes, the same person that played Sally. It's Catherine O'Hara. And Beryl is done by Danny Elfman, who, as you know, is the singing voice for Jack Skellington. These three together were so good. They were so playful and fun and mischievous and really just got those characters. They did a really great job. I love them. And I also want to mention, there are a lot of other characters in this movie, and to mention them all the voiceover actors would take us a really long time. But I want to talk about the clown with the tearaway face, specifically because it was also voiced by Danny Elfman. So that's the third character that had Danny Elfman's voice. And I also know that there were other minor voices that Danny Elfman did throughout the movie. So he was very prolific in his use of voice for this movie. Really wonderful casting, though. Really wonderful performances, top to bottom. Just first class. Just doesn't get any better than that voice cast. Let's talk a little bit about the music before we start going through the plot and all the music in it. The music was composed by Danny Elfman. As I said, it was based on the poem written by Tim Burton. And he did a beautiful job. The sound of Danny Elfman is The Nightmare Before Christmas. I can almost always identify a Danny Elfman piece because I'm so familiar with The Nightmare Before Christmas and what he uses for his sound, his tone, his his creative mind, how it works and how it speaks in an artistic way through music. So all of it was composed by Danny Elfman. And many, many, many artists have recorded the songs from the soundtrack, which we'll talk about many. And the much of the music is used in Haunted Mansion Holiday out in Disneyland. So that's kind of cool that once they change over the Haunted Mansion to Haunted Mansion Holiday, which is a Nightmare Before Christmas layover that they do out there, a lot of the music that Danny Elfman wrote is also used in that attraction out in Disneyland. So it's just very, it's amazing music. It's top notch. It doesn't get any better than this music. And it's so identifiable. It is so clear that it is the Nightmare Before Christmas. And it's so clear that it's Danny Elfman. I just absolutely love it. I think it's really exciting stuff, especially for when it was created. The idea that such a dark theme and a dark story could be animated in such a, I don't know any other way to say, but such a joyful way. Really, really great. Really, really great work. And that leads us to the part that we all want, right? That we all look forward to during these episodes, is that we get to start talking about the plot and the music of The Nightmare Before Christmas. So we'll do that right when we get back. All right. Now that we've got all that technical stuff done, I do love the technical stuff, though. Technical stuff. Ooh, that's hard for me to say. I do love the technical stuff, but now we get to what we really, really want to talk about. We want to talk about the plot and the music, because that's why we're all here. Let's get right down to it and talk about this movie. So, Halloween Town is obviously a fantasy world, and it has various monsters and different beings that live in it, with the holiday being Halloween, right? So it's Halloween Town. So, the first number called This is Halloween is such a wonderful piece of music. It has this lovely pulse to it. Bump, bump, bump. Bump, 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 bump. So good. Keeps it driving forward. Keeps you interested and engaged. It has an energy behind it, which is so nice. But the thing that I really love about this song is that it does such a brilliant job of introducing us to the world of Halloween Town. A world that we obviously don't know, that we've never been to, that we've never heard of before this. And it is so beautifully written. The lyrics introduce all of the characters. It really gives you a feel of what the town is like. It gives you that pulse that even though it's scary, because it does have that minor sound that we've talked about in an earlier episode, it is still not sad, not scary. You know, these are obviously people, beings, that enjoy what they do and love where they live and love what this is all about. And it is so enjoyable to listen to and listen to the different ways that each character sings their part and makes their part known. I just really love it. So let's listen to a little bit of This is Halloween.
Boys and girls of every age, wouldn't you like to see something strange?
Come with us and you will see. This our town of Halloween.
This is Halloween, this is Halloween. Pumpkins scream in the dead of night.
This is Halloween, everybody make a scene.
Trick or treat,
tell the neighbors on your diaphragm.
It's our town, everybody's free.
In this town of Halloween.
I am the one hiding under your bed. Teeth ground sharp and eyes glowing red.
I am the one hiding under your stairs. Fingers like snakes and spiders in my hair.
This is Halloween, this is Halloween. Halloween, 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 Halloween.
In this town we call home, everyone hail to the pumpkin song.
In this town, don't we love it now? Everybody's waiting for the next surprise.
Round that corner and hiding in the trash can, something's waiting now to pounce. And how you
So Jack Skellington is the pumpkin king. He's basically the leader of the town, and he organizes all of the Halloween celebration stuff. He takes care of everything. But unknown to his citizens, he is bored. Because it's the exact same thing that he does every year. And he really wants something new. So that leads us into what we all know, if you've been listening to this podcast, is the I Want song. What's the I Want song of The Nightmare Before Christmas? How weird to think that The Nightmare Before Christmas even has an I Want song. But it really does, I think. And it's called Jack's Lament. And this is where he really talks about his life and being bored and needing something new to really kind of put that spark back into Jack. I can relate to that. I know that we all can. That sometimes you just need something different to give you a little bit of excitement. And he does a beautiful job of not only describing his lament, his sadness, but also what he needs. What does he want? He wants something new. He needs something new to lighten his life. So let's listen to some of the beautiful I Want song, Jack's Lament.
There are few who deny it. What I do, I am the best. For my talents are renowned far and wide. When it comes to surprises in the moonlit night, I excel without ever even trying. With the slightest little effort of my ghost-like charms, I have seen grown men give out a shriek. With the wave of my hand in a well-placed bow, I have swept the very bravest off their feet. Yet year after year, it's the same routine, and I grow so weary of the sound of screams. And I, Jack, the Pumpkin King, have grown so tired of the same old thing. Oh, somewhere deep inside of these bones, an emptiness began.
So the next morning, while he's going through the woods, he's actually following Zero. He comes across an opening in the forest, and he encounters several trees that have doors which lead to other holiday-themed worlds. It's very cute. Each tree has a symbol for that holiday, and it also has a doorknob with that symbol. So cute. And the doors are Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, love that turkey. Turkey is so good. Independence Day, Valentine's Day, and St. Patrick's Day. And he's not quite sure what any of this is, but he ends up opening up Christmas and stumbling through the door that leads to Christmastown. Now, Christmastown could not be any more different than Halloween Town, right? So it has bright colors. It's a cheerful atmosphere. It's full of lights and energy. And it really is quite a difference from the funeral Halloween Town that he's come from. And he quickly falls in love with this new, exciting holiday. Who wouldn't, right? You've been doing Halloween forever, and then you run into Christmastown. That's a huge change. So he then sings this exciting discovery song called What's This? So contagious, so different than what we've heard before. Very bright, very excited, very happy. What's this? What's this? He talks about the snow that's falling through the air, just everything. He gets spotted a couple of times, and it's just a load of fun for him. So let's listen to some of What's This?
What's this? What's this? There's color everywhere. What's this? There's white things in the air. What's this? I can't believe my eyes. I must be dreaming. Wake up, Jack. This isn't fair. What's this? What's this? What's this?
There's something very wrong. What's this? Around. I've never felt so good before. This empty place inside of me is filling up. I simply cannot get enough. I want it, oh, I want it, oh, I want it for my own. I've got to know, I've got to know. It is this place that I have found. What is this?
Christmas Town?
An awestruck Jack returns home to share his discovery with his friends and neighbors, and they relate to Christmas Town's ruler, Santa Claus, whom Jack mistakenly calls Sandy Claus, which is important later on, but are unfamiliar with the concept of Christmas and conflate its customs with the Halloween traditions that they're so used to. And we have something called a town meeting song, where they're trying to understand what's going on. It's so much fun to listen to them kind of mess things up in this. Very cleverly done. Afterwards, Jack... Well, let's listen to a little bit of the town meeting song before I move on with our story. So here's a little bit of the town meeting song.
Listen, everyone. There were objects so peculiar, they were not to be believed. All around, things to tantalize my brain. It's a world unlike anything I've ever seen. And as hard as I tried, I can't seem to describe like a most improbable dream. But you must believe when I tell you this. It's as real as my skull, and it does exist. Here, let me show you. This is a thing called a present. The whole thing starts with a box.
A box?
Is it steel?
Are there locks?
Is it filled with a box?
A box? How delightful, a box.
If you please. Just a box with bright colored paper. And the whole thing's topped with a bow.
A bow?
But why?
How ugly.
What's in it? What's in it?
That's the point of the thing, not to know.
It's a bat.
Will it bend?
It's a rat.
Will it break?
Perhaps it's the head that I found in the lake. Listen now, you don't understand. That's not the point of Christmas Land. Now pay attention.
So after the meeting, Jack is frustrated and isolates himself in his house to study Christmas. And he is intent on finding a way to rationally explain it to the people of Halloween Town. He's obsessed with finding out how to explain it to them and how to make it real to them. And so let's listen to a little bit of Jack's obsession, where he is completely obsessing over, obviously the name of the song, over this new holiday that he's just discovered, and he's trying to figure out what is it and what makes it tick.
Christmas time is buzzing in my skull. Will it let me be? I cannot tell. There are so many things I cannot grasp. When I think I've got it, then at last, through my bony fingers it does slip, like a snowflake in a fiery grip. Something here I'm not quite getting, though I try, I keep forgetting, like a memory long since past. Here in an instant, gone in a flash, what does it mean? What does it mean? In these little bric-a-brac, a secret's waiting to be cracked. These dolls and toys confuse me so, confound it all, I love it though. Simple objects, nothing more, but something's hidden through a door, though I do not have the key. Something's here I cannot see. What does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? I've read these Christmas books so many times. I know the stories and I know the rhymes. I know the Christmas carols all by heart. My skull's so full, it's tearing me apart. As often as I've read them, something's wrong. So hard to put my bony finger on. Or perhaps it's really not as deep as I've been led to think. Am I trying much too hard? Of course, I've been too close to see. The answer's right in front of me. Right in front of me. It's simple, really. Very clear, like music drifting in the air.
So after all of this obsession, he does it for days. He has days of studies, and he's experimenting, and he gets nothing done. Jack kind of gives up his attempt to understand Christmas and decides to improve the holiday instead of understand it. So he is going to try to make the holiday better. He obviously, I mean, he's the king of Halloween Town. Of course he can make, you know, Christmas better. I'm sure he can do it better than Sandy Claus. So Jack calls for another town meeting, and he announces that Halloween Town is going to take over Christmas this year. And he assigns different jobs to different people in the town, different beings in the town, such as singing carols. He tries to play jingle bells on actual jingle bells to the jazz trio that's always there. And they sing the most sad version of Jingle Bells ever. It's so depressing, but so much fun. And also making presents. That leads us to making Christmas. And this is where the citizens of Halloween Town are just as excited as Jack. And they're excited about making Christmas, which is something brand new. And they're trying to do it in the best way that they can. And you can see where this is all leading before we even get there. So let's listen to a little bit of Making Christmas.
Surprise! It's ours this time!
Making Christmas!
Making Christmas!
Making Christmas!
Time to give them something fun they'll talk about for years to come. Let's have a cheer from everyone.
It's time to party! Making Christmas!
Making Christmas!
Snakes and mice get wrapped up so nice with spider legs and pretty bows.
It's ours this time.
All together, that and this, with all our tricks, we're making Christmas time.
Here comes Jack.
I don't believe what's happening to me. My hopes, my dreams, my fantasy.
So during all of this, Jack visits Dr. Finkelstein, who is the mad scientist, obviously a Frankenstein version. I mean, he has created Sally, which is a feminine creation of his. And he wants a sleigh that is pulled by skeleton reindeer. Well, of course, Dr. Finkelstein says, of course I can do that. That's very easy. They're very simple animals. And so during this conversation, Sally has a vision of a Christmas tree that burns. And she tries to warn that they're not going to make this happen. This is not going to work. Instead of taking her warning, Jack says, oh, you're just overreacting. You don't understand. And I think you should make my Santa Claus suit because you're really good at making stuff. He also brings in a trio named Lock, Shock, and Barrel to kidnap Santa Claus. Because obviously, if he's going to take over Santa Claus over Christmas, Santa Claus can't do it. So he decides that he's going to get these three people to take over, go and kidnap Santa Claus. And these are Oogie Boogie's boys. And we talked a little bit about Oogie Boogie before. Oogie Boogie's the bad guy in this, right? He is the boogeyman, basically. And he loves to gamble. Jack has specifically said not to include Oogie Boogie in this. And the trio agrees with fingers crossed behind their back. And then they go off to kidnap Sandy Claus. And the first time, they get the Easter Bunny. They totally mess up and get the Easter Bunny. And it's so funny because Jack's like, I'm sorry, Mr. Bunny. We'll take you back and make sure you get the real Sandy Claus. So they go out to kidnap Sandy Claus. So let's listen to this playful children's song. It's not a children's song, but it's sung by children called Kidnap the Sandy Claus. It's so much fun because you can hear the mischievousness in their voices and the fact that they're going to do something. You know, they're so proud that they're going to help Jack and, grab this mystery being to bring back to help. And of course, they're going to give him to Oogie Boogie. They even say that in the song. So let's listen to a little bit of Kidnap the Sandy Claus.
Kidnap Mr. Sandy Claus?
I want to do it.
Let's draw straws.
Jack said we should work together.
Three of a kind.
Birds of a feather. Now and forever.
La 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 la.
Got a better plan to catch this big red lobster man. Let's pop him in a boiling pot, and when he's done, we'll butter him up.
Kidnap the Santa Claus, throw him in a box. Bury him for 90 years, then see if he talks.
Then Mr. Oogie Boogie Man can take the whole thing over then.
You'll be so pleased, I do declare,
that he will cook him rare.
So when Lock, Shock, and Barrel brings Santa to Halloween Town after, you know, like I said, they took the Easter Bunny first, Jack tells Santa that he will take care of Christmas this year and orders the trio to keep Santa safe. Well, you know where this is going, right? So, however, they disobey Jack's orders and bring Santa to Oogie Boogie. And Oogie plots to play a game with Santa's life at stake. So he's playing with Santa's life, and he's basically going to try to kill him if he loses. And Oogie, as you can imagine, makes sure that he wins. Just like any casino, the odds are stacked against the players. So we get the Oogie Boogie song. I love this song. It is so good. One of the best villain songs ever written for a Disney animated feature. And you just hear in his voice and in his energy that he is just evil, and he relishes that evilness, right? This has got some definitely a nod to New Orleans in its sound, and it is so well performed. It's just great. So let's listen to a little bit of Oogie Boogie's song.
Santa Claus, huh? Ooh, I'm really scared. So you're the one everybody's talking about. You're joking. I can't believe my eyes. You're joking me. You gotta be. This can't be the right guy. He's ancient. He's ugly. I don't know which is worse. I might just split a seam now if I don't die laughing first. Mr. Oogie Boogie says there's trouble close at hand. You better pay attention now, 'cause I'm the boogeyman. And if you aren't shaking, there's something very wrong, 'cause this may be the last time you hear the boogie song. Whoa.
So meanwhile, back in the town, despite her best efforts, Sally has not been able to stop Jack from proceeding with his plan, and she sings a lament called Sally's Song, which is her lamenting the fact that she knows this is not going to work. So let's listen to a little bit of Sally's Song, so well performed by Catherine O'Hara.
Just around the bend, and does he know?
as Jack is leaving to deliver the presents to the real world, which we always forget there's a real world in this because it's such a fantasy location. But when he goes out to the real world to do it, Sally attempts to rescue Santa and is captured by Oogie also in the attempt, which I love because, like, she takes apart her body to do it. She takes off her leg to kind of be this seductive leg coming out from behind a wall to get Oogie's attention, while her hands go down and tell Santa to not worry, that they're going to get him up and out of there. And it's just so cute. Definitely worth going to see how she tries to do that. But unknown to Jack at first, the presents that he's delivering are terrorizing the real world population. I mean, the world is just scared to death. Things are popping out and chasing them and eating them and biting them, and they bleed, and they're just very scary. So the authorities decide to tell everyone to lock down their homes for protection. And when word gets out about Jack, he is shot down by the military, of course. But he is shot down by the military forces, which cause him to crash in a cemetery. And while the residents of Halloween Town believe him to be dead, Jack does survive. But he bemoans what he's done and what he's caused. And he does it in this song called Poor Jack. And oh my God, it's heartbreaking. And I got to tell you, when I listened to this for the first time out of context, outside of the movie, I don't think I've ever really listened to this song. And to what he's saying, it is so good, you know, his realization and how he's ruined everything and not sure that it can be fixed and just how bad he feels about it. Because, you know, underneath, Jack is not a bad guy. He may look like a bad guy, but he is certainly not a bad guy. So let's listen to a little bit of Poor Jack.
What have I done? What have I done? How could I be so blind? All is lost. Where was I? Spoiled all, everything's gone all wrong. What have I done? What have I done? Find a deep cave to hide in. In a million years they'll find me only dust and black. That reads, here lies poor. And nobody really understood. Well, how could they? That all I ever wanted was to bring them something great. Why does nothing ever turn out like it should? Well, what the heck? I went and did my best, and by God, I really tasted something swell. That's right. And for a moment, why, I even touched the sky. And at least I left some stories they can tell. I did. And for the first time since I don't remember when, I felt just like my old bunny self again. And I, Jack, the Pumpkin King. That's right. I am the Pumpkin King. And I just can't wait until next Halloween, 'cause I've got some new ideas that will really make them scream. And by God, I'm really going to give it all my might!
Now, as he realizes the problem, even though he never intended to frighten anybody, he does enjoy his newfound methods of scaring people. He thinks it's great that he's done this, and this reignites his love for Halloween. But before they can start making plans for the next Halloween, of course, he must fix this mess that he has made with Christmas and Santa Claus. So, Sandy Claus. So, upon returning home, Jack does rescue Santa and Sally. Spoiler, spoiler alert, hope you have seen it, and then confronts Oogie and unravels the thread holding his cloth form together, because he is just like a burlap sack filled with bugs. And the bugs from inside the cloth spill out and go into the furnace, and it reduces him to basically nothing, so Oogie basically dies. Then Jack apologizes to Santa, and Santa rightfully scolds him for the chaos that he's caused and for ignoring Sally's warnings, because Sally did try to tell him. And as Santa departs, both he and Sally assure Jack that the holiday can still be saved, and so Santa is off to save the holiday. Santa replaces Jack's presents with the real ones, and the citizens of Halloween Town celebrate their Pumpkin King's survival and return. And that is the finale / reprise. So let's listen, because it's a finale and then a return to Halloween. This is Halloween. So let's listen to a little bit of that and see where it takes us. So, kind of to help fulfill Jack's dream, I guess, and assure him that there are no hard feelings between them, Santa brings a snowfall to Halloween Town. And of course, Halloween Town has never seen a snowfall. They don't know what this is. And thereby bringing Christmas spirit to that area, to that world, right? And the citizens finally realize the true meaning of Christmas, while Jack and Sally declare their love for one another and share a kiss. So sweet. That ending.
My dearest friend, if you don't mind, I'd like to join you by your side, where we can gaze into the stars and sit together now and forever.
That ending image of them up on that hilltop is epic. That hilltop that he walks up on at the beginning and then again at the end to meet Sally, that is like the iconic image, I feel like, from this movie. It's the image that everybody has in their heads with that curled end, so beautifully done. The animation in this is just so stunning and so special, and I just love it so much. I just think that it is such the perfect animated feature. So now that we've talked about this, let's discuss one last thing, one last matter that is always debated about The Nightmare Before Christmas. Is The Nightmare Before Christmas a Halloween movie? Or is it a Christmas movie? I actually, even though I love to watch it during Halloween, I actually lean towards the Christmas movie side of things. And here's why. And you don't have to agree with me. It's all right. Everybody can have their own opinion about this. I love that about art, is that everybody can have their own opinion. And all of their opinions are right. You don't have to agree. But I feel it is because the lesson learned here is a Christmas lesson, right? It's the lesson of forgiveness and of love and of redemption. Halloween doesn't strike me as a holiday about redemption and forgiveness by any means. It's about scaring people and having fun and collecting candy by trick-or-treating and, you know, all those wonderful fall things, you know, pumpkins and all of that, you know, bonfires. But at the end of this, there is redemption in what has taken place because there was a realization that he wasn't doing it to be mean. And so Santa forgives him and brings the spirit of Christmas to Halloween Town. And so the whole town can then revel in that spirit. So my opinion, it is a Christmas movie. But really, any time between Halloween and Christmas is the perfect time to watch this movie. Okay, let's be honest. I'm a nerd. Any time is the perfect time to watch this movie. I love this movie. I love watching it. But that it seems to be the perfect time to watch this between Halloween and Christmas. Maybe a little bit before Halloween if you want to dig into the Halloween side of that. But I think it can definitely fall in the middle and everybody can enjoy it all the way through. Thanksgiving may actually be the best time. To me, that may be the right answer, right? Thanksgiving. But definitely Christmas. From my standpoint. Hey, thanks so much for listening to the Magic Music Review. I know it has been so long since I have been making recordings, but you'll be happy to know, hopefully you're happy to know, that this is the first of many coming up. I have a full list of things that I want to do. I'm very excited about it. I'm very excited to share it with you. Our love for this Disney music, which has had such impact on all of our lives. I'm going to throw in a few surprises, some recordings that maybe you've never heard of, and maybe some that you have, but just didn't really know what they were about. And hopefully I can help point that out. But I wanted to bring back certainly a heavy hitter with The Nightmare Before Christmas. I hope that you have enjoyed it as much as I have bringing it to you. And until next time, this is Jim Spangler, the Goofy Guy, signing off. I will talk to you soon. You got a friend in me.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company. M.I.C.
See you real soon. Because we like you.